This is Drive Through Radio on AM 790. Call Paul and John Zangari now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio with Paul and John Zangari on your station for Talk and Business, AM 790.
Good morning and welcome to Drive Through Radio, car care for you right here on AM 790. I'm Adam Zangari along with my dad, Paul.
Good morning, Adam.
His little brother, John.
Hello, guys.
The one and only George Kennedy.
Yo.
And our producer, Brett Ferruccio.
Good morning.
All right.
Now, these guys are here to answer all your car questions, so don't be shy and call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
You know, we like to say this is radio-free nepotism here. Of course, that means it's anything but nepotism-free, right? And, you know, Brett, you know, extended family. And George is actually the nephew of Adam's old baseball coach, Little League, so it is. And by the way,
small world.
There it is. And by the way, you just heard the voice of America's youngest sportscaster, Adam Zangari, who is going to be part of the play-by-play coverage tomorrow of the Rhode Island Interscholastic League Basketball Championships. Dan York is going to be actually doing the play-by-play. Coach John Kavanaugh from Classical does the color, and Adam, you do the interviews, right?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing interviews, things like that. I'm probably going to be doing the pregame show as well. So
that's what you did last week, right? That was
yeah,
your
that's
debut.
What I did last week for the Division 1, 2, and 3 championships, so probably going to be doing that again. That was a fun time.
Yeah, and the road to the Ryan Center actually gets going tomorrow.
So what are you asking them? What's your favorite color? Who are you wearing? Stuff like that?
Yeah. Who are you wearing is definitely the question.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We were talking a little bit about the Volvo Ocean Race coming in here. And one of the teams, I guess again this year, is from Puma. And I don't know if there was quite the battle, you talk about within families, between the brothers Dashler, Adidas.
Yeah.
It's actually short for Adolf Dashler. Wow. That's where that comes from.
It doesn't stand for something else?
No, that's actually based on the guy's name. His nickname was Adi, so Adi Dashler.
Right.
And I think it's Puma was his brother's company. They couldn't stand each other.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And they went into competition with each other.
I know the part about they can't stand each other, but yeah. I think Puma's the company.
Yeah, and the funny thing is there's something similar to that, I guess, having to do with automotive wiring for classic vehicles.
Yeah.
There are two companies in Rhode Island that produce wiring harnesses for old cars, Rhode Island Wiring and Narragansett Reproductions or Restorations. And
I think it's Restorations.
Yeah, and they are actually family members that are competing with each other.
And ironically, both their slogans are, we're better than Lucas.
Look,
yeah, well,
any light
just
that
so
works
you know,
is better
that's
than
not
Lucas.
Saying much.
I was
and that's why the Brits drink warm beer.
That's right. Yeah. No. I'll think of his name yet who actually printed the correction on that. The Brits don't drink warm beer. They drink room temperature beer. Now, the reason
that's
that
warm,
they,
Tom. That's
yeah,
warm.
Well, see, the
yes,
reason.
Boy,
well, yes.
In.
But you see, the reason that they drank warm beer was because allegedly the beer was kept in Lucas refrigerators.
Yeah.
The reason it's room temperature beer that they drink and it's warm is because they have Lucas air conditioners.
Okay, but that guy was incorrect, by the way, just so you know. They don't drink room temperature beer.
Really?
That is a lie.
Yeah.
The truth is they drink cellar temperature beer.
That room, okay.
Because the
because
kegs,
the air, you didn't have to count on your Lucas refrigerator.
Well, no, the kegs are in the cellar, and that, when they pull that handle and they draw the beer up.
The old cask conditioned, yeah.
Yeah, and that's that's where the draft, they draw it up.
Yeah.
And it's in the cellar.
I was at a British vehicle meet one time, you know, cars, motorcycles, all of that, and their hard luck trophy was called the Joseph
Seems
Lucas
like
Prince
crowd.
Of Darkness Award. Yeah.
Ozzy's not the only one, huh?
Yeah. No. And what the award consisted of, they had a nice little slab, and on it there was a headlight that was empty, and there was a little candle inside. That was, you know, for Joseph Lucas.
I assumed it just would have been a chunk of head cheese or something.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah. You know, some of the things we're going to talk about on the show today, of course, George, there is an event coming up at the Lars Anderson Auto Museum that I think is...
Again?
Yeah. Oh, well, it's an ongoing thing. This is part of Motormouth, right?
Yeah, it's part of Motormouth. It's something that you guys participated in a couple years back.
Yeah.
This one is Women of Motoring.
And actually, it goes back further than a lot of people think. I mean, as far as women's participation in motoring, we'll be giving George the floor to, you know, proceed on that whole topic in just a little bit. Also, we had a little bit of weather yesterday. And,
really?
You know,
I didn't see anything.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this before in past shows about the fact that, you know, when there were the huge floods in Texas and in Florida and that, and cars, of course, travel across state lines, you do not want to get a car that's gone for a swim. And of course, now there are going to be swimmers right here in the local area. So we'll talk a little bit about ways that you can protect yourself against buying a car that's been underwater.
Mm-hmm.
Channel 12 reported this past week on those speeding cameras city of Providence.
Everybody has.
They did some numbers earlier in the week, and then everybody went, "Oh my God!"
Yeah.
And so. We'll talk a little bit about that, which has got a lot of people really ticked off.
Yeah,
so,
with good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Judge
we're not London. We're better than that.
There you go. And Judge Caprio is stuck with, like, I don't know how many people that are going to have to come through his courtroom. Yeah, it's just... Oh, and he's, you know, he's such a nice, patient guy, but I'll bet this is going to try his patience.
Patience.
Of course.
We'll get more on that later.
Film at 11. Hey, none of this moron stuff.
Yeah, moron insurance.
Yeah, we've got a couple cars we're going to be talking about on the show today.
Yes, we do.
A little Kia, which is not really a high-performance car, but actually more fun to drive than I expected, the Rio EX.
Yeah.
And, George, you've got a Dodge that looks like it'll get out of its own way okay.
Yeah, it's the Charger GT, the new all-wheel drive version.
That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, of course, Adam, people can call us, right?
Yep, they can call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
Because there's a good chance your cable's out.
Yeah.
And your electricity's out, so you're in your car listening to the radio, and your cell phone data is going to work, so you can call us, or the regular part of the cell phone's going to work.
Or, the other people that are listening, my mother has one of those wind-up emergency radios.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Always listens to. So the folks out there that have your emergency radio going, when all other forms of entertainment have been exhausted,
well,
us on the AM.
You have nothing else to do. Turn
let's
on.
Just say this goes back a long time. I was really little. It must have been Hurricane Carol. I remember my father going out, starting up the 41 Plymouth to listen to the radio. It was a tube radio. Used a lot of juice. It made sense to start it up and find out just what was going on. And, you know, radio stations like WPRO and WEAN, which is what this was at the time, ways of staying on the air.
Are they the two oldest stations in Rhode
Island?
Yeah,
both from the WEAN from 1922 and WPRO from 1924. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they were around in 54. And by the way, we here in the Bryan Broadcast Center are on emergency power. That's why it's a little bit cooler than usual. You know, sometimes this place... it's cooler or warmer than it ought to be.
In the summer, it's way too hot. But right now, I'm practically shivering.
Yeah, because, well, we have enough power to have lights on and have transmitters and boards and stuff that we need to be on the air working. And fortunately, since we have one of those electronic key things to get into the building, that's on the emergency power.
It's a good thing, or else Brett would be running up and down the stairs.
Yeah,
alive.
Brett is shaking his head now because there have been times when he's had to do that.
Yeah, that's because Paul forgot his keys.
Yeah, that's probably true as well.
Well, yeah, but anyway, we digress. I guess we might as well, speaking of digressing, madam.
Yeah, let's go into break. So, like I said earlier, you can call us on the air at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Car questions, car problems, car issues, these guys can solve them. Drive Thru Radio will be right back after this. Welcome back to Drive Thru Radio, where George and I did not plan on matching from the top up.
Oh, yeah, Yeah.
Because our listeners can tell.
Yeah. This is right. not the studio with the webcam.
Good. Thankfully.
Which probably isn't working in the studio that has it right now because we have to conserve power.
With the quartet of us, you'd break the damn webcam.
Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah.
Crack that lens in no time.
Yep. So, Adam, what's the car we're looking at here?
We are not sponsored by Under Armour. So we're looking at the 2018 Rio X5DR.
And it's manufactured by Kia, and it is a five-door hatchback, or it's a four-door hatchback sedan. You know, they call it a five-door.
Yes, they do.
But I don't, I don't notice many people getting into the car through that fifth door.
No clowns?
No. This is completely unrelated to it. But quite a while ago, a friend of mine, Bill Davis, was riding in the back of my 62 Corvair four-door.
Yeah.
And he had a 65 Corvair two-door. And when we got to where we were going, he just instinctively pushed back the seat in front of him because they used the same bucket seats and all the Corvairs. And he was complaining about what a pain in the neck it was to get out of the back seat of a Corvair. Well, so next time, use the door.
They got a door
right
for that.
Yeah. So anyway, that won't happen here because everyone has a door and the front seats don't fold forward in the Kia Rio.
At least not like that.
Yeah, it's a subcompact. It's got a 1.6 liter four-cylinder, got a six-speed automatic in the version that we had. And, you know, it's a little bit lighter than some of the other cars that use that engine because it's not, you know, not a full-fledged sedan. It's chopped off after the,
it's
the
not
back
a big
seat.
Car either.
Yeah, and so it's quicker than you might expect it to be. You know, it really gets out of its own way.
How much horsepower?
All right.
I don't know right
now. Yeah, I don't have it.
Oh, well, you're an expert.
Yeah.
We've got all of
that. It feels like 120.
Yeah, but
I mean, I bet it is probably something in the 110 to 120 range.
Yeah, it's not an outrageously high horsepower or torque number, but it's pretty well mated to the car's specifications.
Sure.
But the thing that amazed me was, you know, the ride's a little bit firm, but it's not bone jarring, but it goes around corners like a slot car.
Okay, because you're going to mention that usually follows that the suspension, especially in a cheap line car, such as a compact, you get a knocking feeling and maybe noise.
Yep.
And I was shocked to find out or to feel or not feel that the Kia Rio did not have that knocking feeling that kind of jars your bones.
Well, they've gotten a lot more sophisticated than the earliest Kias that we drove. They really have come up.
Are you gonna put your feet out and pedal?
Not anymore. No more Flintstone mobiles. I mean, maybe when they get rotten enough, you know, when they're old.
Right.
If that happens, we'll see. But no, it's just leaps and bounds above what we got to expect from older Kia models.
Yeah, and also along the same lines, I used to call the pedal on the right the volume pedal, because when you stepped on it, all that happened was the car would get louder.
Yeah, you'd make more noise. Yeah.
And it just wouldn't go any faster. Yeah.
There's still some cars like that, like if you know, Chevy Trax, you jump on that unlovable hunk of garbage.
The Kia Rio EX at on the line is a little slower than on the RPM range.
In other words, when you want to pass somebody, you're already moving. You put your foot down, it shifts, and you go.
Really, I had no problem. As long as I pressed all the way, I had no problem accelerating, moving in and out of traffic, not trying to keep up, but trying to get around somebody. And before the car in the other lane got there, I got in the spot before he did and kept going. He never got caught up to me.
And he probably didn't complain because you weren't poking in front of him once you got in front of him. Yeah.
Older Kias, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so this is a big improvement over what they used to be.
I noticed when you were pulling in, it looked like you were kind of sitting upright. It sort of had more, compared to, you know, like the Forte, you kind of leaned back a little bit more. What was the seating position in that car?
I had it leaning back. I probably just leaned forward to look.
Okay, it looked a little bit more upright than a typical subcompact.
I lay them back.
All in all, I'm really happy with the Rio, the way they've done it for 2018. I will tell you the things that I do complain about. I wish that this had a power seat because the way the seat adjusts, I'd like to get a little bit more thigh support by picking up the front of it, which you can do with a power seat. The C pillars are kind of large, so
I noticed that. Yeah, that might hurt sight lines, especially you know, for a larger car. it sort of moves out that C pillar, so your actual sort of vector of viewing is a bit different.
Getting into geometry.
Geometry. But for a smaller car like that, a big C pillar becomes a bigger issue.
Yeah, that's true. And the other complaint that I have, and I do not know why car manufacturers all seem to be doing this, but the wiper from the passenger side, rather than stopping at the mirror, keeps going so it can deposit everything that it's gotten right in front of the driver.
But be happy, it's only a half a wiper blade, and the driver's side is oversized, and the passenger's undersized.
So I don't want that junk in front of me, and I don't want the fact that after everything's dry, there's a little line in front of the driver that you have to try to look through, look around, lean over so you're not, like I'm doing, leaning away from the microphone, you know, lean away from it so you're not looking at it.
Now, I got to point out that when your brother pulled in, I, for a split second, thought that it was his new personal car, because I know his proclivities for underwhelming, underpowered, you know, econo cars.
Over-economy cars.
Yeah. The masochist vehicles.
And you knew I hadn't loaned him my Corvair.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't smell or hear it coming.
There you go. The hearing part we're working on.
Now, one of the things that, you know, we complain about these wipers, one of these days they'll actually listen, because what is back is two knobs on the radio. Even though it's a touchscreen radio, there's two knobs
for
the two most important things. Also, the HVAC system, I like their setup. They've got three knobs and two little sections that hang down, so it's really easy to find where recirc is and where the AC button is.
Right.
And you can turn the things and they stay exactly where you left them.
As opposed to when you got an automatic system and you turn the heat up a little bit and it thinks, oh, you must want to really be cooked out of the car.
Now, he makes a great point, though, because it seems like there's, so like maybe you look 5 years ago, a lot of automakers, especially like Honda, were pretty bad offenders of, okay, you know, we're going into a new era in cars. We're going to try and make everything different. We're going to retool the way that you interact with the car. And there's been a pushback.
Volvo.
Right, Volvo too. There's been a pushback where it looks like you're moving back towards actual, you know, volume and tuning knobs, actual HVAC controls. And it's nicer. It's, the lower end of the market has the better controls.
Something is to be said for driving by Braille.
Yeah, and when you can, exactly. Now, the extreme case of it is, since I've been driving Corvair since I was 19, my hands know where to go.
Right.
But I didn't take me long driving the Kia to go by feel. Okay, I want to make it a little warmer. This is what I twist.
Well, all right, so let me run this by you. Last week I had the new BMW 530 Hybrid. Okay?
Oh, did you have to pull over in order to adjust the HVAC?
Did it have AM radio?
Oh, my God, you too. So, it had a gesture control. So you put your hand about 6 inches in front of the radio.
Yeah.
Instead of looking for the control, you just make a counterclockwise motion with your finger.
That will never sell in Italy, where we all talk with our hands.
You know what's funny? For an Irishman, I talk with my hands a lot, and I found myself the volume going up.
My
100% Irish?
75.
Hey, my wife's Scots-Irish, right?
Yeah.
Her mother's brother had one of those DNA checks.
Uh-huh.
There was an Italian in there somewhere.
Oh, Gabagool.
Same thing might have happened to you.
Yeah.
Did they have to buy some Lederhosen?
I don't know. No.
So I'm from all over.
There you go.
When you do that with the volume, though, it's like you almost want to yell like Expelliarmus. But yeah, so I mean, if you're thinking about like automotive, shall we say, motor skills, basic controls, like, you know, we talked about like shifters too, how like don't get too funky with shifter designs because it's dangerous. What are your thoughts on these gesture control systems?
I have yet to experience them, but off the top of my head, I would say that they have the possibility of taking somebody reaching across to, you know, grab something off the seat, adjusting something that didn't mean to be adjusted.
Sure.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm going to have to try that out.
TBD.
You got it.
And speaking of this touchscreen and things like that, on the touchscreen in the Kia Rio, I'll say new favorite apps, and that's Android Auto, or for you people from the dark side, the one for the Apple phone.
You mean people in the civilized world?
No, dark side.
Apple CarPlay?
Yeah.
What is it like to talk with two cans tied to a string? I'm curious.
Well, you've got one right there.
I don't know. How many times I wanted to get a contract out on Steve Jobs, but I'm too late.
So it has the Android Auto where you plug in your cell phone and you can use your Google Maps on it, which, of course, saves you a couple of grand on the price of the car.
That is a nice feature, and I will say this. Having Apple an iPhone and Apple CarPlay, they don't have Google Maps for the CarPlay apps. So you just have to use Apple Maps, which in of itself is an argument for switching over. I will say
because
that.
Because I have, look, on this hip, I have my phone. It is an Android. On this hip, I have my work phone.
I guess
it
you're AC/DC, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And when I want to find phones. Where I'm going, I usually use the iPhone simply because it's got a great data plan, but I start swearing at the maps.
You look like the nerdiest gunslinger.
Yeah, I that's exactly what I feel like.
He's trying out for a part on Big Bang Theory.
No, please.
Yeah, two phones, one for the plug and one for the load.
There you go. Yeah. But actually, one of the nice things about using your phone for navigation is, I know this now because we have a nine-year-old car with the original navigation in it.
Mm-hmm.
When we come here to the station, the map shows that we're taking the old path of 195, and we don't go splash. So I guess we're actually where we ought to be.
Right.
But the map shows us crossing the water.
Well, and you just mentioned something really important, that is, you know, it circumvents the need to pay $1,000 for the navigation option on that car.
And for the upgrades or for the
constant
renewals.
Upgrades, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, so, I mean, there's two ways that they get you. One is that, so with a lot of these cars, Android, I almost call it Android Apple, Android Auto and Apple CarPlay are coming standard, or if not, one trim up from the base. So
right.
It's very affordable.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, like, automakers like Nissan and Infiniti, they try and really get you on the nav stuff by making you get in a subscription service.
Yeah. Mm.
So if you don't pay $20 every year, that not only will they not update the map, but they can take it away.
Yeah.
And that includes remote start too. So that's kind of a nice little stick it to you kind of scenario.
Yeah, that's where it's in the phone versus on the remote, like on my Grand Caravan, where it's on the remote.
They can't take
that away.
Yeah, but essentially, since you're paying for your phone anyway, you're going to have that data or whatever.
I find that unless you have the most advanced, like a lot of these automakers will do navigation, then you can get Sirius XM Travel Link, so you get all the traffic updates.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, Google Maps and Apple Maps have a better, you know, they're better at accommodating for traffic and knowing what the real ETA is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got traffic, your older in-car nav system might tell you 43 minutes, but in reality it's an hour and a half, and you're not getting that information.
Never forget the time we were trying to get to Bugsy's, and we wound up making a shortcut through Roslindale.
I live right up the street from there. It's a fine place.
I'm not complaining about it. But you don't think of it as being on the way.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Actually,
but it was faster than...
I think we were going to...
Or maybe it was
museum.
Lars Anderson. Yeah,
And we went and drove by the governor's mansion and up in that area over there through Hyde Park and all of those neighborhoods in Boston.
I can just imagine you two having a very cooled head conversation about getting out of that navigatory scenario.
Yeah, we called my father-in-law because he grew up near there. He talked us through it.
He gave up.
Yeah. Anyway, the 2018 Kia Rio EX5 door, and the EX, of course, is not the base trim level by any stretch, but $18,700. It had the EX Launch Edition, which added $500 to it, and oh my goodness, the carpeted mats came to a total of $20,225. What does the EPA say?
They say on a highway you may get 37, or in the city possibly 32 for a combination of. Almost 28.
And your mileage will vary.
Anyway, it's time to take a break, and you know we love to talk. We talked about 5 minutes after we should have taken a commercial break.
Shh! Don't let the cat out of the bag.
And we'd love to talk to you, so call us at 401-437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive the radio. We'll be right back after this.
The Jeep goes jumping and bumping along. Gonna knock you right off your seats. Here we come romping and stomping a song. Oh, dig it with the reed feet. We're six jerks in a Jeep.
Welcome back to Drive Through Radio.
Only four of us, right?
Well, five if you count
that. That's right. But yeah, we're in the Jeep. And Brett is just making sure that the Jeep goes where it's supposed to.
Yeah, he's driving.
All right. Five jerks in a Jeep. I'll buy that.
Anyway, we got a caller, Doug from Narragansett. Welcome to Drive Through Radio.
You could be number six, Doug.
Good morning. Quick question. A relative gave my son a 2000 Range Rover.
Doesn't like the kid?
Okay, that's my dilemma. Okay, it's got like 83,000 miles. Engine runs great. Before we put it on the road, we were told it needed new inflatable. This is all new to me. Shock absorbers.
Oh, the air suspension.
Okay, it's to the point where we're having a lot of problems with them. Mm-hmm. Is it worth having springs put on?
Well, it would be maybe if they had a kit for doing that, because some aftermarket people do make kits for to replace air suspensions.
Right, like retrofitting something that's a little bit more conventional in place of something that's expensive and trouble-prone.
And the air suspension could fail yet again in another 20, 40,000 miles.
And so if there is a retrofit, kit, aftermarket kit. Hey, maybe Rover makes one, but I doubt it.
See, I think, I'm just spitballing here, I don't know if it's like convertible, but I know they made non-air suspension versions of that, of that Range Rover.
Yes, they did.
So it's worth looking into, maybe talk to a Range Rover dealer to see if the stock non-air suspension kit would apply.
And the other thing, actually, enthusiast websites. I've seen, for example, you know, Buick Park Avenues with their air suspension, which is nowhere near as trouble prone. I've seen people take the rear suspensions out of, say, a LeSabre Custom and put them in the car, and it works fine.
But the thing with the Buick, because there were such mass-produced cars, and the air suspension part probably wasn't, they were just an easy changeover because that's the way they designed the car.
Oh, you'd go get a used one out of a recycling yard,
But the Range Rover is not anywhere near the numbers.
No.
So there may not, it may not have been an easy thing to do.
And if
and
a com-
also, don't neglect, you know, Paul said, go to the dealer and ask in the service department, but there may be some local private garage
shops that specialize in that. Yeah,
and off-road places, too.
Especially, that's just what I was thinking. For example, maybe a company like Rancho makes a kit for it, and if they do, I mean, they're owned by Tenneco. They got to meet all the factory type specs.
So this Range Rover was given to you guys, is that right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's in great shape, but unfortunately, it's got problems with that, and I don't know if I should just dump it or what.
Well, so the question I would have is, what kind of budget do you have in mind for starting to put work into it? Because if it's free, that's free, and you want to put a couple grand in, that's fine. It's pricey to do stuff like this.
Yeah,
well, that's the point. It was given to me. It was free. It was given to him for nothing, so I'm willing to put maybe a couple of thousand into it.
So I mean, honestly, your best bet is probably put a couple grand into it, flip it, sell it, and then buy something that won't break down.
like a Buick.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate it.
It's all right. Good luck, Doug.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. So, George, what's happening at Lars Anderson now with women and motoring?
Yeah. So,
and you know how I mentioned it goes way, way back?
Yes.
Emily Post's niece, I believe, kept notes on a long trip that she took back in the days when you had to crank cars.
Right. Right. Well, yeah. I mean, and it goes even beyond that because, so, you know, Lars Anderson, the Anderson couple were, you know, collectors in the 1890s.
And when Bertha Benn stole Carl's car to take the kids to see Grandma.
His first stolen car.
Yeah.
And road trip, by the way, too.
When Lars Anderson passed away, Isabella Weld Anderson inherited his fortune, and she was a very, you know, independent woman on her own.
Right.
Became the...
Well, actually, wasn't she the money in the family?
I think you might have been right on that one. Yeah, yeah. But the point is that she was very active in the automotive community.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to continue that tradition. So on March 8th, which is coincidentally International Women's Day.
Gee, I wonder how that happened.
They're having a Motormouth storytelling event. Now, you guys have been part of that in the past. Really fun event. It's sort of like the Moth Radio Hour, but for cars.
Exactly.
And then...
And without the spray for insects.
Yeah, exactly. And the women speaking include Don Hayes, who, if you remember, used to do the lottery numbers on Channel 5 up in Boston.
Okay, yeah.
She now is the country's first female African-American motorcycle safety instructor. Whoa. And there's a really interesting story as to how she wound up doing that, which you'll have to go to the event to find out. Other speakers include Jody Perowitz, which is the fastest woman on an American motorcycle, and Louise Ann North, a.k.a. Landspeed Louise. She's known for driving jet dragsters in the Bonneville Salt Flats at
land speed,
250 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. She then turned her talents to automotive photography and photojournalism. Her stuff's been in the New York Times, Sports Illustrated. You know, very accomplished women who all have very unique stories from the automotive realm. There's also going to be a local master mechanic, Sally Dawson, who, you know, runs her own shop. And then another woman who is a Benjamin Franklin Institute of Technology grad who is, you know, also doing a lot of work. So, you know, it's a cool cross-section of different stories throughout the automotive space, all involving women, all really, really cool stories. And it's Thursday, March 8th at 7 p.m. Tickets are $15 for members, $20 for non-members. I think I have that right.
Okay.
And to find out more, though, go to Lars
Anderson. Including check the price.
Yeah. LarsAnderson.org is where you'll find that.
And by the way, when you look up directions, don't bother taking Route 9 coming from here. Go past my wife's grandmother's neighborhood. It's much easier.
Yeah, take 95 to 128 to 9.
That's what you got. You've got it. 9 and then VFW Parkway.
The Hammond Parkway, excuse me.
Really? Okay. Yeah. But no.
If you would take the VFW, you would take Route 1 off of 95 and then take the VFW.
Oh, you take a left at the car wash and then again at Bertucci's, follow your nose. And
you know, you know what you're talking about.
There
exactly. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, what do you say, Adam?
All right. I say we go to break.
Hey.
That's what I normally say.
There you go.
Anyway, we've got podcasts online at 790business.com, so you can listen to them if for whatever reason you want to listen to us again during the day.
Masochist, right?
Maybe you just love the sound of our voices. Who knows?
We do.
Maybe, we really do. Maybe you actually need some car advice. So anyway, they're at 790business.com. Drive Through Radio will be right back after this. Welcome back to Drive Through Radio, where I've run out of snarky comments to make coming out of commercial breaks.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And where did this song come from?
That's the New Beats. They had something on the top 10, but that wasn't it. No, anyway.
I can see why. And Chevrolet had something in the top 10, and this wasn't it either.
No, it wasn't. But at any rate, one thing we mentioned, cars that swim, right?
Yep.
And it's funny, cars that swim and swimming and Chevrolet. Henry Jamison Handy, the filmmaker who did all of those.
Jim Handy films, yeah.
Jam Handy. Yeah, he actually was an Olympic bronze medalist for swimming in 1904 and 1924, and I think he still has the record as far as the
longest. So he was the second loser.
Yeah, well, you could say that, but he did better than you and I would have done.
You ain't first, you're last, all right?
But the thing is, 20-year spread between medals, and I don't think anyone's gone that long.
All right, that's pretty impressive. That seems like something like if they had golf in the Olympics, which do they? I don't know.
Jeez, I think
they do now.
That seems like something like a golf achievement would be 20 years.
Yeah. Summer Olympics, curling?
Yeah. Hey, curling. Do not besmirch curling. I have taken quite a shine to curling.
Curling and nail polishing and eyebrow plucking. And
I think they added golf for the Rio Games.
Well, yeah, and Amanda, of course, took cosmology.
Yeah, it's different. But
you mentioned she's taking cosmology, and people say, can she do my nails? But anyway, a couple of things we want to get to before we get to George's test drive on that Dodge Charger, one of them having to do with all the flooding. Look, there are a couple of things that you can look into. If you're looking at a used car, and the car is new enough that it would have had comprehensive insurance on it, if you go to NICB.org. That's the National Insurance Crime Bureau. They have a free lookup on there. You can put in the car's VIN. If an insurance claim was paid on the car, it should come up there. So if you see that the car was totaled and it looks great and it's from Marshfield, it could have been underwater.
What about older cars? I know that, you know, the Jeep that I have that I love so much, it might have been a flood car from one of the earlier hurricanes in Florida because it has, like, Lucas-level electronic gremlins.
Yeah, you know, it depends. The older the car is, the more likely it is that you can bring it back from having been underwater. You know, like a 66 GTO where, you know, the wiring harnesses can be, you know, all changed.
Well, I mean, outside of sort of doing, like, clerical work, are there any things that you can spot?
Yeah, one of the places that never seems to get cleaned up, fortunately.
The water line?
Yeah. No, under the sill plates.
Okay.
You know, where you step into the car. On an older car, you'll have screws that you have to take off, and then you look under there. If you see water residue, you know, a little bit of silt, that car could very well have been a swimmer. That's usually the only way that's going to happen. And on a newer car, you stop at a hardware store for $2, you can get a plastic putty knife, and you can use that to pry the type of sill plates that cars have today, you know, the plastic snap-in plates, and look under there. That's where you're going to get... where you're most likely going to find a telltale in a place that you can get at it. You know, if you could pop off a door panel, you'll see stuff in the bottoms of the doors, but you're not always going to be allowed to do that looking at a used car. But, you know, you can be on the other side of the car and just quickly snap off the sill plate and look inside, and that'll give you a hint. Other things.
Cameras.
Oh, my goodness.
Smile.
Yeah, well, you're not going to smile when you get the bill. 12,000 plus tickets going out in the first 5 weeks with the five cameras around schools in the city of Providence. Speeding tickets. If you're 11 over the limit or more, you get a ticket.
And here's the problem with this.
Yeah.
Most of the school zones in the state of Rhode Island, they say 20 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And it's all day long.
Right.
And there, why do you have to go 20 miles an hour in front of a school mm-hmm. when there's no children out there?
Because they're in the building.
And they're locked in.
Or school is done for the day. Or, Adam, our high school student here, we have a junior at Lincoln High School. Adam, how many of the kids that go to school with you are going to run out into the traffic?
All of them.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry.
Myself included. That's more of a referendum on the Lincoln High Education.
Yeah. Well, seriously, the last
seriously,
time...
Seriously, none.
Yeah, the last time that Adam tried to run out in traffic, he had just learned to walk, and I tackled him.
But anyway, so
you wouldn't be able to tackle me now.
So back to this. And they're not interested in safety. The traffic cameras is the new cocaine for municipal governments.
I would say, you know, 12,000 tickets in 5 weeks with five cameras at $95 a piece.
Yeah, and
what are they raking in this first little?
Last year, I'm bad at math in my head.
Providence, now I don't know which tickets these are. They're camera tickets.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, and I don't know if they included the school camera things, but at least the red lights. $1 million in fines, mm-hmm. half of which go to the camera company.
Yeah, and by the way, six new cameras.
And that's a racket.
Six new cameras are going in this week.
And remember, instead of having to pay cops
to
sit out there, mm-hmm. it's a one-time fee to install the cameras.
Yes,
and then it just keeps pumping in revenue.
My favorite story is, I think it was Portsmouth or Middletown, where there was a police car with a blown engine. They put an inflatable cop in it, and people slowed down when they drove by the high school.
If they actually cared about whether or not people speed, there'd be far different practices going on. Like you said, the inflatable cop.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, half of them are anyways. But you know what?
I didn't say that.
if you want to stick it to this system and make your voice heard, if you got a ticket, just whether or not you were in the right or wrong, submit to fight it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the law allows for that anymore.
That's why Judge Caprio is going to have no hair on Tuesday.
Yeah, I feel bad for him, but that's, you choke up the system.
That's right.
And when you go to fight, the cop that pulled you over has to be there. So it's going to be like a little robot camera sitting there in the other bench.
They're going to show a picture.
Yeah. It'll be Watson.
Yeah, and to that point with the whole system not being right, elementary school is really the only schools that need it. We live right next to one.
Yeah, we do.
And you know how far away it is from the street?
Oh, it's so far back. Yeah, way back.
It would take a little kid about 30 seconds to run from the actual school to the street.
Well, mm-hmm.
and if they get there, then that's just really bad.
All this automated mm-hmm. enforcement has had an unbelievable effect. It's got Uncle John agreeing with the ACLU.
And Pawtucket is going to get hooked on the cameras. And just to tell you how bogus this whole thing is, on Nathaniel Green School on Smithfield Avenue is closed, it's under construction, and the lights are flashing and saying it's a school zone.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. That's bad.
All year it's been
now,
closed.
Now, let me ask you, since I'm up in Mass, is Pawtucket having, like, budget problems?
Duh.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's why they're doing
it. Well, they want to pay for
a loan.
Yeah. They want to pay for the new Red Sox stadium.
Hey, that's how you pay for the stadium. Speeding cameras.
So we get to go for free, right?
Yeah. In the meantime, why don't we go for a ride in a fast new Dodge?
Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm going to be a star.
right, so it's 2018 Dodge Charger DT Plus all-wheel drive.
DT or RT?
GT.
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 Yeah, yeah.
Oh, GT.
So GT is their new designation.
You know, this is my delayed headset. Oh,
GT is their new designation for all-wheel drive vehicles. There's the Challenger GT, which is pretty neat that it's a muscle car with all-wheel drive.
So the grand touring vehicles come with all-wheel drive.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
Dodges. It makes sense. I mean, and just, what was it, last week or the weekend before, we were down in Southeastern Mass evaluating winter vehicles.
Yep.
I'm sure you guys talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what comes up is what makes a good winter vehicle? Well, all-wheel drive is a pretty good requisite.
It helps.
It's a good start.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it goes a little bit beyond that. I mean, this car has what I consider to be the trifecta of winter vehicle creature comforts, and that is remote start, heated seats, heated steering wheel.
Need that.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You don't need that. I know Mr. Masochist over here with his Prius would rather sit on a lump of coal if it gets him 1/4 mile per gallon extra.
Coal would pollute.
God damn it.
No, I'm a masochist. I drive the Corvair, but...
Most modern cars are becoming more available at a lower price point with a lot more of these creature comforts.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the point of torturing yourself? You know, go for the remote start. Go for the heated steering wheel. Because guess what? If you don't have a garage, you're gonna want, if you're not Edelman with his carport in Providence, then you're gonna want these features that, I mean, how nice is it to remote start a car and then spend less time wiping the car off because the snow is half melted?
Well, yeah, I mean, the only reason I almost philosophically opposed to remote starting, except for when there's a situation where the ice is so thick on the car that it'll help you get
it off. Whoa. Back. Why philosophically opposed?
Because I do believe
it's bad
in...
bad for the car's engine,
it's,
actually.
It used to be.
Back How is it bad for the car's engine?
Back in the days of carburetors, it really was.
Oh,
because
sure.
You'd be stuck on the choke. You know?
Well, you know, we've moved a little bit past carburetors and chokes.
However, the part
these things
still,
called ECUs.
Yes, but the part that's not good for the car typically is the engine's nice and warm. You get in it feeling, oh, the car's all warmed up, you know, and I'll drive the way I always do, boom, down to the floor. The transaxle isn't really all
that's
that
a, that's
up.
A very good point. That is absolutely a good point. But if you're going out there and just doing regular commuting, I think it's fine.
Well, see, I'm all for being good to the car. I don't care if it makes you comfortable or not.
Yeah, we don't care about your comfort.
Yeah, well, for 99.9% of the driving public, they want to be as comfortable as fast as possible.
right, raspberries.
But it's sort of to know what that kind of comfort gets you, this car started at $32,495 with all the options and stuff, all the add-ons, including Apple CarPlay and Android Auto for you weirdos. It's $39,775.
And the EPA says 21 is your combined city and highway, 18 city, 27 highway.
And yours may vary depending on how lead your foot is.
Yeah, because that 3.6, you know, that's gets out of
300 horsepower,
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that's going to do it for Drive Through Radio, right,
hey,
Adam?
Everybody, thanks for joining Drive Through Radio this week. If you liked today's episode and want to listen to it again, our podcasts are online at 790business.com. Thank you, Brett, for a great show. You can catch Dad all week doing the news on WPRO. You can catch me tomorrow helping commentate the state quarterfinals.
Yeah, and you can't catch George because he's driving a fast car.
That's darn right.
We'll be back here at the same time next Saturday.
And don't forget to check your mirrors and signal your turns. Adios.